This seance was recorded on the 7th of July, 1965. Medium Leslie Flint.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Well, and what are we going to do for you?
Oh, I wonder. Anybody arrived?
That husband of yours, he's a wily old bird, he is.
Is he?
Don't you?
Because he isn't old, really.
No.
Oh, age is that purely physical thing, really. But, he's a... No, he's got his eye on things. He knows what you're up to.
Oh, does he?
Well, what are you up to?
I hope he's pleased with what I'm up to. Anyway.
You've been having an interview with a solicitor or something?
No.
Well, who was this man that you went to see in an office?
In an office? I don't know, Mickey. I think I was talking about, publishers generally speaking. I haven't been to one specially.
What?
No. Not yet.
Are you sure you haven't been anywhere where you've had a discussion across a table with a gentleman, a middle-aged gentleman?
No. Haven't. Maybe something in the future.
Could be. Perhaps I'm seeing something in the future then, but I can see you sitting in an office and there's a man at a big desk and he's a tallish man, rather distinguished, graying hair, and he looks very sort of, posh, you know. I mean, a real sort of bloke who's got a lot of authority, you know. And
yes.
I think he's got something up his sleeve, and he's trying to help you in some way.
Oh, no, no, please. Of course, it's maybe someone from the other side, possibly.
No, it ain't.
No, it isn't,
no. No, definitely, mate. It's on your side.
Oh, I see.
And I think this is something very important to you, and I feel it brings you a great deal of satisfaction.
Oh, that's
brilliant. It might be to do with your book.
Yes, might be.
You're not thinking of moving, then?
No, I've got some moving about to do to help people.
You've got a sister, ain't you?
Yes.
She's a bit of a headache, ain't she?
She is a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, poor dear, but she's all...
She can't help it, of course, really, but...
Oh, she's a wonderful person.
I think you do have her on your mind at times. And
yes.
I think she's on her own a lot, ain't she?
Well, actually, no, Mickey. She seems to have a lot of people around her at the moment. So many people to care for. But still... I am going to her assistance, I think, soon. For
I don't know what it is, but I feel as if you're called for help, you know. You've
yes.
got to give her a hand.
Yes.
And I think she needs you, and I think that it's necessary.
Yes.
Is she a bit peculiar?
Oh, no, Mickey. She's a headmistress.
I don't care what she is. She may be the most marvellous headmistress, but she may be the most peculiar in her personal life.
That's news.
Something that you don't know nothing about this, but whatever it is, it all happens rather of an heap. And you go and you see her, and things aren't too good, and you have to help out.
I see, yes. Well, I am going in about a month before I come to see. No.
She's an headmistress of a school, is she, obviously?
She's retired.
A girls' school, is she?
Yeah, and mixed.
Posh school, is it?
Oh, just an ordinary school, Mickey.
Oh.
Very nice school, I think. Very nice school.
You don't keep your things very tidy, do you?
Oh, Mickey, now that! I thought that I was really quite an old maid in that. I'm so very tough.
Well, why is it you wear odd stockings, then?
Odd stockings? Mickey?
Yeah, the other week you came... You went somewhere and you got odd stockings on that didn't match.
Really? Well, this is news to me. I must take more care.
You're very interested in healing.
Yes, I've always been rather interested in healing.
A lot of healing power around you.
Yes, you have said that. Yes.
Lots of lovely blue and purple.
Oh, good.
Seems to be your main spiritual colour with a lovely shade of green.
Oh,
a sort of soft green, beautiful colours. I will say this for you, you always have a smashing aura.
Oh,
nothing murky about your aura.
Oh, Oh, that's nice.
You must have very nice thoughts. You must be a very nice person, really.
Oh, how nice. Glad to know this after the odd stockings.
Oh, well, that's just a sort of little thing that happens, doesn't it? I mean, people do, you know.
Yes.
In an hurry.
Yes. Quite possibly.
Actually, you're quite a lady, really, aren't you?
Probably quite a
lady, really.
No, I wouldn't have
that. Oh, I think you are.
Really?
Yeah, you may not have loads of diamonds and fur coats and all that lot, but you're a nice lady, you're a real lady inside, you know, a real nice person.
Oh.
Not like some of these dolled up affairs, you know, pretend to be ladies. You're a real lady.
Oh, that's very nice to know that, Mickey. I shall go out with my head held high.
I better get your old man, otherwise I'll be in for it.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
You two are having quite a conversation.
Yes.
Oh, I wondered when I was going to get a chance to have a few words.
Yes, it's always nice to hear him though, isn't it?
Yes. I think he's a bit off the mark there, because I always consider you a most tidy woman.
Yes.
Everything's always in its place.
Yes, it all amounts to a fetish almost, I think. Never mind.
What should we talk about?
Well, you said you were going to give me a word for the author's preface today. You said you
were
thinking over what you could say about yourself and what the book is for. What you... it's just that the beginning needs a bit of a fillip, I think.
You mean...
If you could say a little about yourself and...
You mean myself now, or myself as I was?
Yes, well, you thought it would be possible to give a little author's preface, I think, last time, or perhaps you've been too
busy. Author's preface?
Yes.
Well, I suppose it's the usual thing to do for every author, to give a preface to his book.
Yes.
And in doing this, my book, I feel that I am placing in the hands of, I hope, innumerable readers, a book that will at least give them the opportunity to appreciate and to realize to some extent the aspects of truth as I now know it to be.
Yes,
that wonderful. Is that life is truly eternal. That death is by no means the end. Indeed, one might say that death is truly the gateway to life. And it is that one only begins to live when one has died. Death is not to be feared. Death is the great deliverer.
Yes.
Though one may feel the process of dying is something to be feared, yet nevertheless the realization that comes when one has passed through that gate, the realization that life is truly full of new interest, new ideas, new thoughts, that one is surrounded not only by one's old friends and people that one has loved, but by new friends, anxious to assist, to guide and to uplift one. When one realizes that one's mind is ever open to new light, that the illumination of the spirit is such that no one, no matter how low they may have fallen when on earth, even for them there is greater opportunity to struggle out of the darkness into this light, that no soul is lost, that no effort is wasted, that new opportunities are given, new hopes
new thoughts, new ways of expression of oneself. The dove conquers all things. No one need fear death, for death is a great adventure. Death truly is something which we should not fear, but look forward to, realizing that it is truly the great deliverer from all the ills and the woes of the earthly life. And yet at the same time we should realize that the earthly existence is necessary, is essential. Indeed, one might liken it unto the schoolroom in which we must learn the lessons that are necessary before we enter into the greater outer world of the spirit. It is necessary for us to be good pupils, and yet at the same time, I think it is true to say that though we sometimes neglect our studies, that though sometimes we seem always to be at the bottom of the class, yet even for the greatest dunce is still the greatest hope, that no moment of time is lost or wasted, that we shall and we do have given to us every opportunity. And though it may be necessary in some instances to return to school for a brief span of time to learn some lesson or lessons which we may have failed previously, yet in the end all things come to their full fruition. Some of us, when perhaps on earth, had bad teachers. Perhaps sometimes we were taught things, in all sincerity, by our teachers, which nevertheless have been proved to be wrong. And in that category I feel that I can place myself, that I learnt lessons given to me, not necessarily by bad teachers, but shall I say, ill-informed. And I, perhaps, though not a prejudiced person, accepted, as one will in life often, blindly, and accepted as one was expected to accept certain things which I now know to have been false. And yet I realize only too well the difficulties of those in high places, particularly those perhaps who have been given a work to do and endeavor to do it as best they can, and who accept many things in the religious sense, which I now know to lack truth. But this is not in any way a criticism, for all that I say and all that I endeavor to do is done in love, and that my one aim, my one desire is to serve. And I realize that it is natural, indeed, to be expected, that much that one may give to the world of truth, as I now know it, will in some quarters be rejected, will not be accepted because, by its very nature, is in opposition to what is now generally accepted as truth. But we should never lose sight of the fact that truth is many-faceted, that no individual, no group, society, no church, no nation, no peoples holds a monopoly of truth. Truth is like a diamond, rough-hewn, many-faceted, that each aspect gives luster to the whole, and yet at the same time, it is vital and important to realize there are many diamonds. There are many jewels which man does not perceive, and many which he casts aside as being of no point, no account, no purpose, no meaning. Since time immemorial, men have endeavored to pierce the veil. Men have endeavored to find truth. They have searched long and far. And there have been great souls who have been inspired and guided, who have given to the world aspects of truth. They have been in tune, in communion with souls from this world. And they have been inspired to give forth much that is good. The great teachers and prophets of old, they were the forerunners, and quite often they were the ones who founded, quite unconsciously in most cases, new religions. For I am sure that it was not the intention of some of these great prophets to found any particular religion. They had received the divine guidance, and they passed on to men that which they had received. And men built around these truths religious organizations, developed into denominations, and then there were splits and changes. New men came in new generations, changed and altered, and so often obscured the simple truths that had been revealed in the earliest times. And so we had all these varying splits, varying disagreements between different organizations and peoples, all professing to accept the same truth and the same revelation. And if we can but realize that Christ in particular came into the world to show the path of righteousness and of truth, to open the eyes of man to the realization of God's will and purpose, who in his own life endeavored to lead men back to truth. But men in their foolishness and their ignorance desired more and more the miracles, and having received the miracles, demanded more, and yet many still would not believe and would not accept. And even those most close, accepting the Master Jesus, could not see quite often the true meaning and the true purpose. Quite often they looked upon him as a leader in a material sense just as much, if not more, than a spiritual one. We do not realize, perhaps, until it is too late, how great are the opportunities that are presented to us on earth. And it is only when we are able to look back, as we do from this side, into your world, and we see the lost opportunities, we see the mistakes so often made in foolishness and in ignorance and in pride. So it was with many in the time of the Christ who could not see the true meaning and purpose of his life. To them, it was a power that had been given that could have been used for great material advancements, great material progress, the overcoming, as they thought, of the yoke of Rome. But we know only too well that Christ was more concerned, indeed, most concerned with the kingdom of the Spirit, the eternal life. He knew that death was but the gateway to this, and did not fear it. And yet we must never forget that he was human, that he was a man, as a man is, and that he was not, as some people seem to think, purely spirit. He was a physical individual, and in many senses he suffered the torments of the body, not only at his death but during his life. I think we forget too much of the reality of Christ as an individual, as a man, and we must remember that it is then and only then that we can understand him fully and come near to him, inasmuch that he truly was as we are. And therefore, when it has been said, the greater things than these shall ye do, for I go unto my Father, truly it means that we have within ourselves, when on earth, the power to do the things of the Spirit. Christ knew the power within man, but man is so blind to these things of the Spirit that he holds back, he is afraid, and he doubts and is full of fear. There is no need for fear when one realizes that always the power of the Spirit is around and about us, that nothing is impossible to the Spirit, and we are truly spiritual beings, even though we are held in check, perhaps, when on earth, particularly by the material force and conditions of earth. But we are truly sons and daughters of God. We can remember that nothing is impossible to us. The days that lie ahead for the earth offer many opportunities to man, if he will but take them and make good use of them, and that he will learn his lessons in that schoolroom of life to which he is called. But let him not think that the schoolroom of life of earth is but the be all and the end all. It is but the stage of the chrysalis that must one day surely break its bonds and become truly the butterfly in many hues. We do not doubt, for we have no need to doubt the reality of life, for this is truly the life, this is truly the eternal life of the eternal Spirit, where all things are conceivable and all things are possible, where love reigns, where the power is such that all things that are good are everlasting. Do not doubt nor fear death, for death is truly the gate by which we enter the state of eternal bliss. But I would not have you think, because of these things that I have said, that this world is necessarily always as one perhaps would like it to be. By this I mean that man will find for himself according to his light, and that he will have to evolve gradually from state to state, from different condition to condition, and that he will gradually become more and more aware and conscious of the eternal truths, and that change is necessary. And indeed, if it were not for change, if there were not this constant change within oneself, within one's nature, within one's realization, within one's scope of ability, I do not think that eternal life could be, because we could not live nor understand an eternity in which all things were the same, in which there was no change, in which we repeated the same things and were constantly the same people. But what I'm trying to convey is that all men will find their own condition according to their own light, that they shall truly change from degree to degree according to their advancement or lack of it. But all men are of the spirit, and on the spiritual planes of the spiritual life, all things are possible according to each and every one. No one is lost, there is hope for all. That which I have given in the book, in many ways, will be found by some difficult to realize. And yet it is true. I know that the greatest opposition will surely come from the quarter in which it should be most accepted. But this, I know, is, of course, unfortunate but true to say, that until the scales are lifted from the eyes, man cannot truly see. And so many are blinded by outworn creeds and dogmas. The truth is obscured from them. But if they will but endeavor to release themselves from the chains of orthodoxy, and they are freed of prejudice, then truly shall they see the things that are of the Spirit, that shall lift them up into the greater heights. My blessings go out with the book. My blessings go to all who read it, to all those who accept, and to all those that decry, for there will be those who cannot see, but those who will see and do realize this truth, truly are they blessed. And to this fortune I say, be of good heart and good strength, for that which is not for you today shall surely be for the morrow.
Yes, that's lovely, darling. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You'll have to cut it about a bit.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It's a little long, but I'll find
you. Reorganize it, but
yes.
That's the general
yes.
feeling that I have.
Yes, thank you. It's very, very good, darling.
I hope it'll be all right.
No.
Your mother sends all her love to you.
Does she? And how is your little garden?
My garden is very lovely and very beautiful and full of lovely flowers.
Is it? Yes. I'm so glad.
You know, I think you're going to get such a joy out of it when you come here.
Oh, yes, I'm sure I shall, yes. I've often wondered how you make your flowers.
They grow in the normal way.
Oh, I see. I thought you just sort of concentrated thought. I thought that was only on the lower regions that you dug and pruned and whatnot. I thought that it was...
Ah, that is true, but nevertheless, there is... You see, we must always remember this, that although it is true to say that many things do come into being by thought process, nevertheless, if everything were achieved without any effort whatsoever, it would be rather pointless. So
yes,
to some extent,
I do see that.
Although a great deal of the difficulties and the problems of life are erased, it doesn't alter the fact that one still has to make effort here. One still has to have the feeling of having achieved by effort to accomplish things or to have anything of any consequence here that gave one pleasure without some effort in the acquiring of it or making it possible would be rather a pointless existence.
Yes,
so
yes.
We must never think that we just think and there it is. It is true to say that in a sense this does apply in certain respects, but in the ordinary way of life here, everything that is in being is brought into being by the labor and the effort. I don't necessarily mean a physical labor, but we must remember there is this mental and spiritual labor
yes.
in the achieving of it.
Yes. Next time, Pierre, you said you would deal more thoroughly with reincarnation.
Well, that is a subject that I want very, very much to go into rather deeply.
Yes, don't forget, will you, darling?
I feel it's so important. Yes. That people should have some knowledge of this, because it's important in as much that it is the, I wouldn't say exactly the basis, but it's a very important part of every human life.
Yes.
Because very few people have gone through just one life, invariably several or many. I think one should know something of this.
Yes, Harold Sharp has given me a graph of mine from a long way back.
Next time we talk on those lines, love and blessings.
Yes, thank you, dear, for your tremendous
effort.
Goodbye,
Mr. Day. It was real posh, wasn't it?
Real posh, yes.